You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Sunday, the government announced they would match Auckland Council's $15 million for restoration of the St James Theatre in Central Auckland. I spoke to Central Auckland MP Chloe Swarbrick about the significance of the theatre and the benefit it will have for the public with so much public funding going into it. Why was saving the St James so important?
Saving the St James is critical for the future of the central city. I mean, anyone who's been down Waihoro 2 Queen Street over the past few years will have seen just the state that things are in. And that lack of certainty about the future of the St James is one of the things that's been holding back kind of the potential of the city centre. So this is huge insofar as it is actually the cheapest, technically new venue that Tāmaki Makaurau will ever get. Auckland is supposed to be a UNESCO City of Music, and the St James Theatre is kind of key in that respect. So there are a number of really important factors. The first is its location. It is in the literal middle of what's supposed to be Auckland's arts precinct between the art gallery, the library, the civic theatre and the town hall. In terms of its scale, so it's around 2,400 capacity in concert configuration and 1,500 seated. It's also obviously a heritage building, so it first opened in 1928 and is Category A heritage listed. And it's got a huge amount of history, so there's been a plethora of local and international acts that have played there in its nearly 100 years. So it's immense. And it's also recycling at a large scale. So yeah, really exciting.
You've kind of touched on this, but what does it mean for concerts and events happening in Auckland Central, and when can we expect to see it up and running again?
So we recently celebrated its 95th birthday, and we've been running the campaign kind of byline that we're hoping to see it open by 100, and with the government's announcement this past weekend, and also that commitment from Auckland Council and shovels in the ground, hopefully by the start of next year. What that means is that hopefully within about 3 to 5 years, we'll see the doors open and concerts put back on. In terms of what it means for kind of, I guess, the arts and cultural scene here, my understanding, speaking to those who know a lot more about the technicality of putting on concerts and gigs than I, my understanding is that it's more of a plug-and-play type of venue than, for example, the town hall or the civic in terms of its operation. It also offers huge potential for artists who, you know, are branching out from the likes of the power station and growing audiences a little larger but don't quite have the commercial radio play to be able to reach the audience numbers necessary, for example, for Spark Arena. But it'll also offer more of a boutique kind of offering to international artists who may be looking to play kind of smaller and more intimate audiences as well. But I think it's also really important to see it in the context of stitching up kind of the ecosystem within Auckland Central, but also Tāmaki Makaurau at large. We need venues of all shapes and sizes, particularly those that are independently operated, in order to provide diversity of choice and some really awesome kind of opportunities for our young local musicians to get a foot in the door, to start to grow their audiences, to try things out, and to springboard into bigger and better things.
And what will the setup be with it being privately owned but receiving so much public funding?
Yeah, really good question. So this has been one of the kind of core things I've been really engaged in over the past few years around how it is that we can navigate ensuring that this is a public investment for the public good. I think it's really important to know that historically the St James was actually offered by Steve Bielby, the guy who currently holds the keys, to Auckland Council's first super city, to Mayor Len Brown back in the day. And this is all on the record in local board and council minutes, that it was actually offered for a nominal sum of a dollar to council, but council, reading between the lines, rejected it on the basis that they then would have an outstanding liability and, you know, tens of millions of dollars required to do up this venue. And you only need to look at other historical venues, for example the Lays Institute in Ponsonby, to get a picture of just how many of these liabilities council currently has on its books, and therefore the challenges in restoring those heritage buildings. So we kind of had to come to some kind of way of retaining the venue itself, so it not getting worse, which, with Steve continuing to own it and doing those patchworks every now and then, we had the opportunity to then kind of get into those conversations around council and government funding. So that's where the rubber really is going to hit the road on the operational requirements, and I've made it incredibly clear, as has the government and council through its negotiations, that this needs to be operated largely in the public good. So those operation discussions are actually ones that we expect to be having in the next few months, because we obviously need to make sure that people are all on board with and understand just what it is that we're expecting out of this theatre after those shovels get into the ground and operation gets up in the next few years.
And can this be seen as a good sign for our arts sector, who are still largely in COVID recovery mode?
It absolutely should be seen as a hugely positive sign for our arts and cultural sector. I mean, something that I will forever go on and on about, like back in 2016 when I first got involved in politics with a big P, you know, I was at B, I was in my own wire, I was working at Neck of the Woods, and it was the closure of the King's Arms which really drove me to get involved in all of this. We have all of the ingredients in this city. You know, you only have to go to a gig on a weekend at Whammy or Wine Cellar and you'll see it all in front of us. We've got limitless talent, we've got immense passion and creativity, and now we've got this incredible, supposedly new venue on the horizon to carve out a unique international identity as a thriving arts and cultural hub. We have always just needed local and central government to recognise and to resource these things, and it's been incredibly frustrating prior to getting involved in politics, but also now several years deep in it, to consistently see that arts and culture is seen and pitched as kind of a nice to have. But we all know and experience throughout COVID-19 and the lockdowns in particular that exactly the things that people turn to, whether it was books or music or television or film or otherwise, all of that was manifestations of arts and culture, which just continued to prove how important and critical it is to living a good life, or a life at all, to be honest. So again, I hope that this is seen as just yet another kind of foothold in the argument and the debate about how important it is to resource these things. This by no means should be the end of the road, but it should be a big win on the board for us to continue to fight for even more, because that ecosystem deserves even more resourcing.
That was MP Chloe Swarbrick on the St James Theatre restoration.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.